This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you want lawn care service that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets. That's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. And by using organic fertilizers for safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. With Natural Lawn, I know my family is getting a beautiful lawn that we can all love. Switch to Natural Lawn's safer services, and you too can start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. You'll get free seeding every year. This has really helped my lawn. If you want a greener, healthier lawn, plus free seeding too, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Free seed. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter. Fox Sports' Jordan Schultz posted a few minutes ago, his understanding the tush push ban is that it's unlikely to have the votes to be banned. Elliot Shore Park's just telling the WIP Morning Show there's a thought the ban could be tabled, possibly to May. Schultz added, if it does get banned, the main reason they're now pushing is the concern about injuries, particularly to the spine. For not having any data on injuries, they now have now narrowed it down to the spine. However, as of the morning, doesn't sound like to Schultz they have enough votes for the ban, and that will be voted on sometime today, possibly. When plumbing problems hit, call Roto-Rooter. Their team tackles clogs and leaks so you can stay in the game. Roto-Rooter, your MVP for plumbing solutions. Sunny, high 58. It's currently 46. Listen to Sports Radio 94 WIP on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Careful. Careful, everyone.
Mick.
From what? Until the Phillies win a World Series, is that the deal?
Phils? He's trying.
Really laying out here, huh?
Yeah, you know it's Mick Jagger. Let him do his thing. This is probably a staple on 94.1 WYSP back in the day.
Probably.
You know, I would imagine. All right, Ruben, let's go back like 30 years. I ask this question to people every once in a while, now that I've referenced YSP. And I get very split answers on this. Because I'm now going to go to the WIP days pre-94.1. When WIP was 610 WIP, did you refer to it more as 610 or as WIP?
Ooh. 6'10", I think.
I think so,
too. I think it was 6'10 for me.
Definitely 6'10".
Right?
Yeah. For me, yeah.
Like, hey, did you listen to 6'10 today?
100%.
Did you hear what Angelo said on 6'10 this morning?
100%, yep.
Rhea, what do you think?
It was 6'10". It was always 6'10".
It was 6'10".
Like, I have the old mite flag, you know, in a set up in my house, and it just because it's real big, it says 6'10". Yep.
Yeah.
So, no.
I think the station was known more as 6'10".
But see, Ruben didn't refer to it as 6'10". He referred to it as bleeping 6'10".
That's because I stunk and they were crushing me all the time.
But Ruben,
that's
you,
what I was playing.
You would call in as a random caller while you played to, like, talk other sports sometimes also, right?
Every once in a while, yeah.
That's wild.
I think
so.
A lot
why would
of
you call in to like talk about? I don't know, Dana Barros with the Sixers. I'm trying to think. So 93. Oh, that was a bad team. So that would have been Hersey Hawkins and Jeff Hornacek and those guys. Holy mackerel, that was not good.
I don't know what I remember. I don't remember what I called in about. Somebody has it.
All right, let me jog your memory. Not jog. Let me tap into everyone's memory on this. So Sosa, who I think was the main hero of yesterday's game. I mean, others had a part, Schwarber, and, you know. So, super sub. I got him, like, he's a top 7 or 8 of my lifetime off the bench. Here's what I got. Number one, I'm going 40 or so years in Philly sports. Now, Foles doesn't count because when you get in, then you become the starter. I'm not saying guy that goes from backup to starter. Backup guy. Number one, Bobby Jones.
Correct.
Okay, number two, I am torn between two. I am torn between Aaron McKee and Greg Gross.
Well, Aaron McKee.
Well, it's tough. In basketball, like, the six-man plays so much more than a bench. You know what I mean?
And he actually won the award, didn't he?
Yeah, he won six-man. I mean,
Greg Gross also did it for like 12 or 13 years.
Greg Gross is the best pinch hitter I ever saw in my life.
Was Steve Nicks a six-man?
I was young for that. I'm not sure.
I think he was.
I'm not sure.
He was pretty good.
Okay.
About Eric Bruntlett.
Eric Bruntlett. Now he's down.
He wasn't a six.
I'm taking Ricky Jordan over Eric Bruntlett.
I love Ricky Jordan.
I'm taking Kevin Jordan over Eric Bruntlett. I'm taking Greg Dobbs over Eric Bruntlett.
Oh, only one of them scored the winning run in the World Series with the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm just saying.
Here's a Sixers name from the past. I'm taking Ron Anderson.
Oh, wow.
Remember Ron Anderson?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
Anyway, all right. I'll tell you who I'm not taking, though, with some of the Sixers, six men right now. Who the hell are they?
They don't have any six men. They're all like 10 through 12. Yeah. They don't even have a six
so
man would
bad.
Be the best player on the team.
It's so bad. All
right. There's a lot of questions I get about Edmundo Sosa playing every day. I think he's in his role. He's perfect in his role. Got to be careful about, I mean, could he play for a team could he play every day somewhere? Yes. But I like his role and what he does. And I think Schwarber summed it up great yesterday. It takes a village. And this is a type of player that can really help this team, but
he has.
Not necessarily every day.
I agree with you. And I'll say this, Dombrowski deserves some credit because he's taking heat,
he
and
sure
rightfully
does.
So. Dombrowski deserves heat for the trade deadline stuff that hasn't been much. But that Sosa move a couple years back in 2022, like, I never heard of the guy. He's really done a nice job.
Sosa, in this offseason, Kepler, he's been out really good so far. I know
and Lizardo.
It's a long
Lizardo.
Season,
yeah.
I think. Lizardo outstanding, and Ross threw the ball extremely well yesterday. I liked what I saw coming out of his hand. So we'll see what happens with Romano.
Yep.
And I think he'll be better than he was his first outing. He threw better yesterday. But I think, I mean, you got to give him some credit, man.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
All right, so all of this on the table, the 3-1 Phils, also the tush-push. You know, Jordan Schultz just weighing in, National Football Reporter, says, and I'm reading right from his piece here, he says, my understanding of the tush-push ban is that it's unlikely to have the votes to be banned, and there's a better chance discussions will be tabled for a future owners' meeting. Mm. And I don't think he's talking next year, because Elliot reported last segment that they could do a vote in May. Mm. So that is notable, John. I mean, because Jordan Schultz goes on to say, those advocating for a ban have been working to sway opinions and get it banned, but as one source put it, the current language in the proposal is just not clear enough and can be easily manipulated. Look, we talked about it when the Packers put that language forward. It's like, well, that's not the right...
No. The ban.
That's not the right language.
The immediate push.
Yeah, that
part,
was stupid.
It really didn't make sense the way they tried to do it. They were angling for it that way because that was like the path of least resistance to change something, or...
It makes
I don't
no
understand...
Sense.
Why they went about that angle.
What the Packers should have said to achieve their aim is a quarterback cannot be pushed after he gets the ball. Period. That's what they were trying to say. or even a ball carrier. You can say a ball carrier that gets a direct snap from the center. Because that's weird. Because theoretically, you can hand it to a running back or a tight end directly from the center. What they're basically trying to say is someone who gets the ball from the center shouldn't be able to be pushed. That's what they're saying. Well, that's not what they said. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
So everybody knows that today is the anniversary of the Villanova defeat of Georgetown. What I haven't heard mentioned yet is that it's also a little more notorious. And it, on this day in 1997, it actually was April Fool's Day for the Philadelphia Phillies. Dandy Tartable in his third at bat at the Philly got hit in the by a pitch and effectively never played again.
It's so unbelievable. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It was nuts.
It was so bad.
I was on that club.
I thought he fouled. I could be wrong, Ken. I thought he fouled the ball off his foot.
I thought it was a hit by a pitch, but
he fouled him. Yeah. He smoked it off his foot. I think it was in L.A.
Man.
Either way, that was it. That was a great.
Then there was the year Mike Jackson. Ruben, you remember this. Remember when Mike Jackson couldn't answer the bell?
He couldn't
answer the bell. First game.
Did he ever go by Michael?
We saw him up in the pen. I think Ed Wade and I were sitting together in the box. We were excited because we had a closer. We're going to close this game out. He's throwing in the bullpen, and then he doesn't come in. He sits down. We're like, what in the hell just happened?
He was the big addition.
Huge addition.
What did happen?
We were going to push his shoulder. Done.
And he never pitched for you, right, Ruben?
I don't think he did.
That was a disaster.
He may have pitched a few games. I can't remember.
Yeah, that one hurt. Anyway,
what I do remember is the man didn't pitch for us as a closer, and it was kind of crushed us.
All right, Ken, I know you didn't call in and talk about Mike Jackson. What do you got, Pat?
Yeah, so a little push, and then I want to ask Ruben a question as the second best baseball player in the studio there this morning, according to you, anyway. So I did a little research on this because I was really curious when this conversation started, and we were talking about is it really going to hurt the Eagles or not. So according to NFL statistics, according to NFL.com, the Eagles and the Buffalo Bills, by far the two biggest practitioners of this play since 2021, have run it 312 times, give or take, and it's been successful 87% of the time in that period of time. In that same period of time, just the traditional quarterback sneak, as you think of it, which is just a massive bodies too, by the way, Joe, that's been successful like 84% of the time. So the differences are not that big. And last year, the Eagles were successful 82% of the time in 2024 on their tush pushes. Now, that takes into account, like in particular, if you think of the Cincinnati game where they ran it three plays in a row there right before the half, before they scored, those first couple attempts that don't score count as unsuccessful tush pushes. Mm-hmm. So all of this, when you look at it in terms of the inevitability of scoring from the half-yard line, by any means in the NFL, when you look at it from that context, it really is just about jealousy and pettiness from these other NFL owners, because when the Eagles run that play, they could walk to the line of scrimmage and say, hey, we're running this now. And so it really is a demonstration of how physically superior the Eagles are to the other football teams when it comes to that. And I think that's what really bothers people the most, is that it's not fair that they're just so physically dominant.
No, I agree. I think people are just fed up that they can't stop it. They're trying to, you know. This is what I would have done.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
I'll say this, Ruben, when you guys as the Phils, and I wasn't happy about it 30 years ago, let the Atlanta Braves in the division, 2 or 3 years later, I would have said, we rescind that vote. Let's get the Braves out of the division. That irked me, by the way. All right, Ken, give me your question for Ruben real quick. What do you got for him?
So just wanted to get his thoughts. So before the double by Stott that led to everything that transpired for the Phillies to take the lead in that inning, Kepler had led off the inning with a single, and then Castellanos was the next guy up, and there was nobody out, man on first, one run game, seventh inning. So I know we talked a lot about small ball with the change of the approach. Ruben, do you think that there was any thought whatsoever in Nick Castellanos' head that I have to hit the ball behind the runner here in that at bat, because it certainly doesn't look like it. And when you talk about small ball, that's what small ball is to me. You know, the kind of, you know, old guy get off your lawn crowd. I just don't think that there's any possibility that Nick Castellanos thinks.
All right, that's a good question. Ken, give me who or what's foolish, and we'll get his answer. What do you got?
I'll tell you who's foolish. Kyle Quinn made me a bet at a Phillies game last year, the Phillies game where I gave you the book, Joe, that the Sixers would reach the conference finals. That was foolish.
Yeah, that did not happen.
The conference right. finals of what?
Kyle Quinn fool. Conference finals of the ping pong balls for the lottery. All right, so
if you watch Castellanos take at bats, yep. In certain situations he does special man in second, less than two outs in certain situations when the team is down. He will try to move the ball to the right side of the field. He makes a concerted effort to do so. In that situation, I want Castellanos to hit a ball out of the ballpark. To me, he's not a situational hitter in that situation because his job is to drive in runs. And so I had no problem. He actually just missed that pitch. He hit it pretty good to the left, just to the left of the third baseman. And as a pitch, I think that he'd love to have back, but he just didn't get underneath it enough to drive it. But I think Castellanos is actually really conscientious about hitting in certain situations. I don't think that's an issue with him.
All right, 215-592-9494. Reminder, you can now watch our show. Not only listen to it here on WIP, you can watch it on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Sports Radio 94 WIP on YouTube. And be sure to turn on those notifications so you never miss a show. You can watch us live or you can watch us back after the show's over. One thing I think we should do... is we got to get stuff behind us, John, and not just like the WIP logo. Like, which show was it? Was it Stern where you would see the face of OJ? Like, I need mugshots behind us.
Are you not watching? Have you not paid any attention to what I've been doing?
I have not. What do you got going?
Oh, yeah. So every day.
Well, you're on the I got computers in front of me.
Every day I have. So the first day I had a picture of Jack Fritz as a freshman in Bloomsburg.
Ooh.
Then yesterday I had a picture of you in your uniform.
Okay.
And today, if people are looking on YouTube, I have, and I got this courtesy of, where was it, at Eagles Film Study.
Okay.
A picture of Sean McDermott looking like a clown.
Wow, look at you.
So
you're already on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed.
I'm having fun with it.
That's good.
So
so we do have to, you know, Seltzer, put the thinking cap on. And anyone get arrested recently? You can put a mugshot up there?
I don't know. It's a good question.
No, like, I've never been arrested.
And sometimes you got, you know, a show will have like 5,000 bobbleheads around them.
Yeah.
You know, PTI has their little things, and, you know, the Dan Patrick show's got his little stuff. And anyway, John, just think about it. I mean,
his little stuff.
The world's our oyster. We can do anything we want.
We can have some fun with it.
Can we get paid by a sponsor and not have the station know it? Like, if I wear a shirt, it says, this is Frank's Pizza. Can I get paid by Frank's Pizza?
What are you going to, like,
get free pizza?
Yeah, for free pizza?
That's why I have my slug ball.
That's so good. All right, 215-592. I was joking. Ruben's really leaning in.
I'm leaning well.
215-592-9494. Coming off the torpedo bats thing. What Rob Thompson said about it yesterday and Ruben's assessment of this issue in baseball. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute.
There's so much buzz surrounding Benari Jewelers' April bridal event. That's because they're breaking all the rules to make sure you get the best prices of the year this weekend. It's the biggest ever sale on engagement rings and wedding bands. If you've been shopping for that ring, you can throw out all of your previous pricing expectations. Just throw them out the door because this weekend you'll save up to 20% on thousands of rings. Not only will you save, but you'll also meet some of the top bridal designers too. This is such a big deal at Benari. Designers have flown in just for this occasion, bringing their entire collections with them. The ones she loves on Benari's Instagram. And best of all, they're all on sale. This weekend, save up to 20% on virtually all Benari engagement rings and wedding bands. The best pricing of the whole year. Now you can get something even more special than you'd planned. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Details at BenariJewelers.com. Don't miss the best ring buying opportunity ever at Benari Jewelers, Exton in Newtown Square.
All right, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie on this Tuesday morning. Philly's off today. They'll be back at it tomorrow. Torpedo bats, a big topic across America the last two or three days since it surfaced that the Yankees are using them and using them with great success. Phillies sound open-minded to using them as well. Rob Thompson talked about that. We'll get to it in a moment. Ruben, and let me just say, for those that don't know, if you're new to this one over the last couple of days, basically the Yankees have bats where the how can I put this? The
barrel has been shifted.
The barrel has been shifted lower toward a player's hand so that if he gets jammed in a certain, not all the way down by his hands, but just a little bit lower to create more barrel near where the hand, closer to the hands, so that it can launch the ball in a different way, and they can tailor bats to a player's batting style the way golf clubs are, you know, fitted for a golfer. Ruben, is this in your, and the bats do look ridiculous because it's a different looking thing. Is this a problem for baseball, Ruben?
I don't think it's a problem for baseball. I really don't. I mean, every team's going to have the access to be able to do it. If every team didn't have access to do this, then this is sort of pretty intelligent by the
Very
Yankees.
Intelligent. Here's the problem.
Certain guys who've made, I've never picked one up. I really have not picked one up yet, and I don't know if there's a weight distribution issue and a feel for the bat. It's different. I know that some of the Phillies have talked about it a little bit, and it doesn't seem like a major change, but a lot of it, and there's a lot of sophisticated information now, which I think is pretty cool and pretty important, that if a guy's making more consistent contact on the end of the bat, then you put the barrel on the end. If you put, you know, closer to your hands or closer to the label, then you put most of the barrel and the power in that part of the bat. I got no problem with that.
Well, here's the problem as I see it, and it's got the if clause in it.
Yep.
If the Yankees home runs truly are increased because of this barrel thing, and if that, and here's a second if, and if that is the kind of thing that other teams could do if they use them, these type of bats, then it would really cause problems for record books and games. Two different issues. Like, I don't want games to be 9-7 with frequency because home runs happen all the time, and I don't want the record books to get obliterate it just because there's a newfangled approach to a bat.
Well,
I don't know.
The records have changed with the baseball. I mean, the baseball has changed so dramatically over the years. There are some years where it's a harder core. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, sometimes, like when I came to the big leagues, man, it was like a golf ball coming off of there. And it's different over the years. And so I don't get caught up in that as much. I mean, there's changes that happen in the game, and I think in this instance, it's an interesting one, and it's actually kind of brilliant.
Well, it is brilliant, but
it's pretty smart.
But Ruben, if the Yankees are onto something that other teams start doing, I don't want baseball like that. I don't want that.
Why not? You don't like to have people hit the baseball for a change?
Well, it depends how many home runs we're
talking. Especially with how far ahead pitching has been. I mean, it might be a good evolution of the game.
Well, I got to see more to know, to be fair. And I think the Yankees thing is probably more of an aberration than not. Meaning, I don't think every team's going to have 15 home runs in
three
games.
It's not a magic bat. You know,
Baseball.
But we got to see more games to know.
Alec Bohm is using this bat, correct?
I'm not sure if Alec. I think he has used it. I don't think it's a big adjustment for him. I mean, I think he has used it, but I mean, if Alec Bohm all of a sudden hits 40 home runs, that might.
He used it yesterday. It arrived right before they went out, and he went 1-for-4. So, yeah. I mean, he had a line drive.
Well, let's hear what Rob Thompson said on this topic. He talked about it. I think this might have been before the game. It may have been after. But here's Rob Thompson on the bats.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure if it was a thing or not, if it was real. But I guess it is real. So we're looking into it. I know Kay Long's made a couple of calls, and we're going to look at it and see what it's about.
It's pretty wild that baseball's been around forever and that the dimensions are there to use, but nobody's ever really tried it.
I don't know. Maybe it's the machinery or, you know, I don't know how they make them. But it's interesting, for sure.
So you'd be okay with your guys trying them out?
Sure, yeah.
You know, here's the thing, and I'm going to relate it to the tush push. It is amazing that there are developments sometimes in sports that hadn't previously been thought of. Tush push, I would say, like the 3-point shot in basketball. Now I'm going back to the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember Rick Pitino doing it at Providence. The New York Knicks started doing it with Pitino. You know, obviously Steph Curry took it to a whole different level in the last 10 years. But like, let's just shoot a lot of threes, and you know, even if it's a lower percentage of twos made. Threes are more than twos, so let's shoot a lot of them. Houston Rockets with Daryl Morey were doing it. I mean, sometimes, you know, John, the third wide receiver was an example in football.
Yeah, you add more speed on the field, you get more explosive offense, you score more points.
It's just interesting that sometimes
when you play fullback,
I know that takes
you're
your
not
spot.
On the field as much.
I know. Just sometimes the things that anybody could have done and hadn't done. I mean, Babe Ruth is an example. He used a certain swing. It was part of how he would launch home runs.
He was the first launch angle guy, Babe Ruth.
No one else were doing it. It's like,
I'll
do it.
It's evolution. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a part of the evolution of sports. It's a part of evolution of anything. I mean, who would have thought that Starbucks would have done what they did?
I'm still amazed by that. I am. A store that all they do is sell coffee.
That's because you don't drink coffee. I know. It amazes you,
yes. They keep evolving.
And their food stinks. I can't even get a burger. I want to chomp on a burger.
I like their
food. You're getting a burger? I got to get that
food. Yeah, for what it is, it's solid.
The food.
It's not inexpensive.
You're going to the wrong place. You get breakfast food at Starbucks.
It's a last resort. It's one of those.
Breakfast food.
I'm so hungry, and I got to get their two or three little things. The Rice Krispie freaking treat. Which
it
I like, but,
fancy,
well, but I don't want that
Rice
there.
Krispie treat.
Well, I like it, but I want a meal.
It's a coffee store.
I want a meal.
It's not a food store.
Here's my point. I'm still amazed that they're that successful. That's all I'm saying. Shout out to Cameron Jackson.
And all the other coffee stores that have since sprung up, too. Yeah.
All right, Ross Tucker on the Tush Push. We'll get to that and phone calls on all of these topics on 94 WIP. All right, baseball fans, obviously, we were just talking about it. Do love the long ball, in my opinion, unless there's too many, but that's a whole other matter. Look, FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is leaning into the long ball with you, giving you more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday during the MLB season. It is, of course, as I've said to you many times before, Dinger Tuesdays. That's right, Dinger Tuesdays. All FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost on Tuesdays with Dinger Tuesdays at FanDuel.com/hammer. That means you can bet on the moonshots and who's going to hit them. And lock it in at FanDuel.com/hammer. You can go yard all season long and make your winnings even bigger. Find the player or players that you think will go yard and lock them in on Dinger Tuesdays at FanDuel.com/hammer. Remember, of course, with college basketball, you can pick up with three games left who you think is going to win it all. You can apply it to pro basketball and hockey. All the bets, all the sports are there for you. All to be made at FanDuel.com/hammer.
Thank you.
Ruben approves.
Damn tootin' I do.
His kind of music.
Dude.
Something tells me the 93 Phils, though, you guys weren't rocking out to this back in the day. This doesn't seem like a Pete Incaviglia kind of song.
No. It was a Ruben Amaro Jr. type of song.
Damn straight, buddy.
And you know what we know about Macho Row? Ruben didn't get to control what was blasted.
That is correct.
So who was the main tone setter? Was it Dutch?
I don't know.
Crocker,
I don't know if we had, like, music wasn't a big part of the gig.
Okay.
Fair enough. We just go play baseball. That's
play
what
baseball.
We
did. I like
just
it.
A bunch of baseball players. Yeah. You know
play
how
baseball,
it is.
Please.
Just ball players.
Isn't that fun enough?
Yeah, it should be. It certainly was that year. All right, speaking of ball players, we're not. 76ers. So let me set the stage for you as the Sixers take on the Knicks tonight of what's going on with the Sixers from a seeding's not the right term. From a standings standpoint, I think it's pretty well known, Sixers need to finish after the ping pong balls in the top six in order to retain their pick this year. If not, they lose it. Is this the Al Horford trade? Which one is this?
I'm not sure.
Because, by the way, that other team's got to be really ticked. I mean, they thought they had the pick for sure, and the Sixers go all the way. They lose Embiid, Maxey. Paul George like, I'm good. And you got Grimes taking games off. Yeah, I'm good, too. They played a game the other day with 10 players out. Anyway, that team's getting screwed, whoever that team is.
But 10 players out is crazy think about.
So here's the deal to note for the Sixers as it relates to the final seven games of the season. When the regular season ends, the Sixers will definitely not finish outside of the top six. They can't get to seven. They're five games in front of or behind of, depending on how you want to frame it, the team with the seventh worst record. So at this point, when the regular season ends, the Sixers are either going to finish fourth from the bottom, fifth, or sixth.
Yeah.
So they're pretty good there.
Fourth would be great.
They're two off of that.
Okay.
They're two off of that.
That sounds like a goal.
The key with five that's really good, is if you finish five, two teams would have to jump into the top three ping pong ball wise in order for the Sixers to go from five to seven, and that's unlikely. I hope people understood what I just said. James, you understand what I just said?
I did, yes.
All right. So point is, if they finish five, you got a great chance to get a pick. If you finish six, you still got a pretty good shot, but one team jumps you, then you could slide down to seven and you lose the pick. So just know it's, as they call it, a must-lose for the Sixers tonight. Sixers and Knicks. And by the way, let's not lose sight of the fact, guys, on April 1st here, these two teams last year and these two teams this year. I mean, look, I know the Sixers lost the series and we all hated that, but they were competitive games.
Yeah.
They were very entertaining, competitive games. Think about the Knicks now, not that they've advanced. They're kind of the same team. Some different parts, obviously. Brunson's been injured. They made two big acquisitions in the offseason. But they're on the same track. The Sixers have...
Oh, my God.
Right?
Well, the Knicks feel like the team we're supposed to be. They got
correct.
Villanova playing for them, and they're tough.
Yeah.
They play basketball the way I'd like us to play.
I admire the way they play.
Yeah.
I do.
Tough. D.
Right?
Yeah.
D it up.
That's right. And play with heart.
Yeah, play with some spunk.
Heart. Yeah. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question. Which of these best describes how you will feel if the tush push gets banned? John, do you think people say A, angry? It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
B, it should be banned. C, the birds will be fine anyway.
I think it's C, the birds will be fine anyway.
It does
we
win.
Are resilient.
Yeah, it does win.
We still
can I say A and
are
C?
Going to run
yeah,
people
but
over.
Which hits you more, Ruben? No, I know. Because A and C, people are lumped together to a large extent. Which one hits you more?
Ah, C. I'm a C.
Okay. I look, of those, I feel more A than C because, and I would be B, but I'm angry with the way it's going down. I don't think that's proper.
The railroading. It does. Feel
and the
like
fact that the commissioner now, say, commissioner's going to pull Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House. You'll hear sometimes the Speaker pulls the vote. Mm-hmm. You'll hear that term in Congress. Oh, Speaker didn't have the votes. He pulled the vote, meaning we're
that's
not going to vote
joke.
Today, right? You know what I'm saying, Ray?
Yep, uh-huh.
Pull the vote. Well, it sounds like the commissioner is going to pull the vote.
If that happens, then I think I'll be closer to an A.
Joe feigning political knowledge.
Can I adjust?
Because he watched a show.
You do learn stuff from the show.
You do learn from the West Wing. Plus, I was with Newt Gingrich in, where was I last year with Newt? Where was that?
Were you in Greece?
Greece. Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah. Newt Gingrich, Ruben, was on my, I was on a cruise, and there, Newt! It's a little Speaker of the House talk. Not really. I mean, I was helping him around some ruins.
Not really?
No, I was staying out of his way. I was
you were helping him?
Yeah, because he's so...
Oh, see, I didn't know that part.
Oh, I helped him and his wife, Callista.
Oh, wow.
But Callista that's was nice. More interested in being helped than Newt. Like, Newt was the man. Like, Newt didn't... Like, this would be a gigantic step in this ancient town of... what's Alexander the Great's dad? I forget his name. Whatever that guy's name is. There's a town named after that guy. And so, found it by that guy. Anyway, the point is, we were in ruins.
Byzantium?
No, it wasn't Byzantium. But anyway...
Bob.
Yeah, his name was Bob. So I had to help Newt and help, but Callista was more into being helped.
Callista? Sounds yeah. like her name came from back then.
Yeah, well.
John, you'll like this.
Callista.
Stanford University, when we graduated, Tip uh-huh. O'Neill, House Speaker, was our speaker at our graduation.
Wow. That's cool. Wow.
I had Tom Brokaw.
That was pretty
That's
cool.
That's cool, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
That is cool, though. That you had
Stanford gets better. Stanford gets better speakers than Fairfield.
Well, not necessarily.
Here's what I can prove.
In many cases,
Ruben, I looked up recently the speakers. I've never heard of any of them.
Oh, bad.
That means maybe you got a chance to be
zero
one.
Or famous.
But that could be
zero.
A you problem.
You're going to be a speaker at Fairfield someday.
I'll tell you what. If they're smart, they bring in the hammer. All right, poll results. 50% said the birds will be fine anyway. 45% said they'll be angry, that it's not fair. And 5% are with me, that it should be banned. And when you're down in 5%, you know you're with the buttheads that just vote that way to try to sway a poll from 0 to 5.
So do you recognize that you're in butthead territory?
You're in butthead. All right, let's listen to Ross Tucker. He weighed in yesterday on his Ross report on social media. Here's Ross's opinion.
There's evidently support to ban the tush push. Number one, kind of embarrassing for the other NFL teams, right? I mean, we can't do it as well as they can, so let's ban it. You know, and the fact that they're saying it's a player safety thing is comical. I'm not aware of any injuries on, at least not to the Eagles. And then this whole pace of play thing, because the Commanders kept having Frankie Louvu jump over the pile, now we need to ban it? That seems like a Commanders problem, right? I will say this. If they do ban it, the Eagles offensive line, the Eagles Super Bowl champion, legends forever. Forever, that they were so good at pushing the other team that they had to ban a play. The reality is, no matter how they write the rules, the Eagles are smart enough, they'll still figure out a way to be by far the most effective quarterback sneak team in the NFL, going left behind Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mailata. Mark my words.
You can tell right there that Ross is in category C. Like, they'll be fine anyway. So, there he is, Ross Tucker. All right, with that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is for tomorrow's Time's Yours, I need some suggestions. What should be displayed behind us with our show now on YouTube? Like, what would be a good, fun, creative... I mean, we can put anything we want. A photograph, anything. A figurine. We can...
put something like the BG
anything.
Or Kelsey or...
Yeah.
Saquon, anything.
Like, we can have a little sign that just has a message of the day. Harper. We can do anything we want. So, what should we do behind us for the YouTube show? All right, Time's Yours is brought to us by... So, anyway, get dialing for tomorrow's Time's Yours. That's 215-238-4500. We'll take some good suggestions there. All right, today's Time's Yours brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Hey, Joe, you looked great in your Phillies uniform yesterday.
April Fool's. I'm jerk.
Come on, man. I thought I did look
That's
pretty good.
That's kind of jerky of him.
A little jerky. And I didn't think I had the stomach as bad as I thought it would be, John. I think the walking's helping.
Are you looking for me to...
Yeah.
Confirm
I'm going to show you a photograph that you might think looks really bad because it didn't look great. I was like, not so much the stomach, but just the overall. Oh. I don't know. I'm on the phone. Someone photographs me as I'm on the phone. It's weird.
Well, photographs are funny. They show you what you look like.
Yeah.
For a guy that came with a defensive background and now is head coach, I think Sean McDermott should probably worry about stopping Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs because he's never going to get to the Eagles where the Super Bowl is. We know that. Bottom line, you're a fraud.
Wow. People going after McDermott today.
And Joe, he is an Eagles. Once upon a time, he was major, like dyed in the wool, Eagles guy.
Yeah, but they fired him. Maybe he's bitter.
They did fire him.
Mm. Joe, you saying that the tush push is an unfair play to the defense. I would argue it's the most fair play to the defense because it's the only play that the defense knows exactly where the ball is going. Time's yours.
Yeah, but the fact that they struggle to stop it shows how ridiculous it is that it's so advantageous to the offense.
Let's all be thankful that at the owners' meeting in 1939, a bunch of nitwits weren't sitting around saying, "Whoa, this forward pass, this really doesn't look like a football play. We should probably ban it." They had the foresight to know what the future was. Time's yours.
Yeah, right. All right. Made a little funny. Feel good about yourself? Yeah. With that, shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
John, here's a photo from yesterday. Just the posture, something, you know, I don't love it. You know, someone wrote on a tool on social media.
Man, I can almost see through your pants. I can see your tighty whities through your pants.
Oh, yeah. Please.
And
don't.
Then.
I almost threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, that
was true.
They were boxers. And then, John, this guy takes from a whole different section a photograph of me.
Welcome to my world.
Oh, look at this guy.
It's like a satellite shot. You got a satellite photo of DeCara. It's like from the next tier up.
Yeah. And the guy writes, who is this bleeping loser? Isn't that great?
You got my
That's
tweet.
Really funny.
Oh, my God.
It's a funny photo.
All right, let's get to Rick. Rick's calling from Easton. Rick, good morning, pal.
Good morning. Hey, you know, Tip O'Neill served in the House from 53 to 87.
Jeez.
Between Eisenhower and Reagan.
His That's right.
Biography is amazing.
Well, what's his greatest accomplishment, Rick?
You tell me.
He had a cameo in Cheers.
There you go.
You're right. That is a
Cheers.
Good
you had Kevin McHale. Really? You had Dukakis. You had Tip O'Neill.
Huh.
You had a couple great cameos through the years.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I was waiting for someone to say, here goes the record book. Now we had juice ball. Now we have the bat. We had the steroid error. Isn't it just hard enough to get the bat on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball first? We're going to have a lot of records change because we're just going to change with the times.
Well, it depends. It depends if the torpedo bat really changes things that much. It's just too early to know yet. But, Rick, if it does, then I think baseball should outlaw it.
I'd like to ask Ruben, as a general manager, what you do with a player like Sosa. It seems like, you know how he was really nervous if he was going to make the team a couple years ago, and Topper sat him down and said, you're making the team. Don't just relax. But it seems like when he knows he's going to be penciled in, just like Schwarber seems to be more comfortable as a leadoff hitter, it seems like when he's penciled in as a starter, he plays a better defense than Trey Turner, and he hits the ball. Now when he goes back to the bench and he comes out once in a while, he just doesn't deliver. If Trey Turner can possibly play center, I don't know that he can. Do you as a general manager try to take advantage of Sosa being penciled in every day as the shortstop and see if he can play in center?
I do not, because his role is what is exactly what he should be doing. Yeah. There is this adage, and it's true. There are some players that are more valuable to your team with 300 at bats than they are with 600 at bats.
Kevin Jordan, Greg Dobbs.
There's a lot of guys.
Sosa.
Like that.
You know, Rick, don't forget, because
he could do it.
He could be okay.
But think his value for this team,
yeah,
is exactly what he's doing.
And Rick, don't forget, last year when Sosa filled in for Trey, he initially was superb, but by the time that
kind of evened out. It was not,
big
yeah,
time.
It was not very good.
Well, the whole big time evened out.
Played well, but it evened out when he went back to the bench.
No, it evened out before that. He was teetering before Trey got back. All right, Rick, we got to turn two, my man.
Okay,
on this
so here
April
we go.
Fool's Day, who or what is foolish?
It cost a lot of people's lives. After we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, Emperor Hirohito was asked by the United States, are you going to surrender now? And he decided not to, and that caused the other bomb to be dropped.
Yeah, Nagasaki. Yeah. All right, so the Japanese emperor for not surrendering a couple days earlier. That's an answer. We're turning to Vinny and King of Prussia. Vinny, who or what is foolish?
I think Coco in The Sopranos is foolish for going up the meadow in that restaurant.
Who in The Sopranos? Tony, you said?
He said Coco.
For going up the
Coco, my God, going up to Meadow, right? Yeah,
Coco. That's what he said, yes.
Coco,
for going to
Coco's the guy, and that was not good. And then Tony bashed his freaking mouth. Guy deserved it. Let's go to Lou in West Philly.
Not
Lou,
real Joe.
Who or what's foolish?
It's by
the way,
Joe.
How do we go from the Emperor of Japan to Coco from The Sopranos? That's unbelievable. Lou, who or what is foolish?
I wanted to touch on the tush push, but the hypothetical is what I was thinking for the who or what's foolish. I think if we don't keep Saquon until he's retired, that's foolish.
Yeah, I disagree with that, because if he wants to play till he's 40, at some point you got to get rid of him. All right, we got to come up with a winning answer. Who or what is foolish? We've got Joe Shane for his handling of the Saquon situation. We've got Chris Webber with the timeout. We've got the Japanese not surrendering after the first bomb, and we got Coco from The Sopranos saying some inappropriate comments to the boss's daughter.
I like Joe Shane.
Can we go Joe Shane over the Emperor of Japan?
I mean, the Emperor of Japan seems so
It seems more than
heavy.
Foolish, though. Yeah. That's not that just foolish. I mean, it's stupid.
It's
tragic. I think Joe Shane is a better answer for what we're going for. Now.
I also don't think the Emperor of Japan was like solely in charge.
That's
I've heard
possible
that there
too,
were
yeah.
others. If he had said the others that had a big role in that administration, then maybe it'd be a better answer. Joe Shane! Over the Emperor of Japan. Who would have thunk it? All right, congratulations, Tim. Tim, you have won the tickets to see Chris Brown. Ruben, Zach Wheeler's going to get his first win of the season tomorrow, right?
Well, you certainly hope so.
He dominates his team.
Rockies,
And tomorrow's a 7-2.
Tell you, 7-2 victory. The Rockies scrapped a little bit. They've got some young players, and it's not going to be a great team. They're not going to have a great record, but... you know, they scrapped a little bit.
Can I sum up the Rockies?
Chris Bryant can't scrap.
They stink.
No.
That's my Rockies analysis.
It's been a long stretch for them.
Yes, it has. Good. Everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day. Look, follow the bouncing ball today from the tush push to what Jeffrey Lurie will say later. We'll talk about it all tomorrow, and we look forward to doing that with you. Have a great rest of the day. Joe and Hugh are up next.